And as the day goes on, and as the sun comes up and burns off the dew, there is a distinct difference between where the dew settled and where it didn't settle during the evening. The place where the dew settled is a place of green foliage. The place where the dew settled is a place of ripe vegetation. The place where the dew settled is a sign of life and energy. The place where the dew settled is green and plush. And what is he trying to say? That where there is unity, there is vitality.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Don't Break Rank, which is based on Psalm chapter 133. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Don't Break Rank.
The groom said, "There goes my bride. She's been fighting again." There goes my bride. She's been fighting again. And I wonder if God doesn't look down sometimes on his saints and see this bride that Jesus Christ is married to. See this bride that Revelation talks about will be wearing garments that are white as snow. See this bride that is supposed to be pure and present it to Jesus Christ, the groom. I wonder if God doesn't look down at his church sometime and say, "Hey, there goes my bride. She's been fighting again. Been fighting again." You see, when we stay in rank, we reflect the glory of God, and we reflect the character of God. Secondly, to break rank is to lose sight of the purpose. To break rank is to lose sight of the purpose. And look what it says here. I mean, you know, Psalm 133, after an initial reading, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because you say, "Well, no, what in the world does Aaron's beard and oil on Aaron got to do with unity? And you know, what in the world does Mount Hermon have to do with unity?" But the mastery of this psalm is so beautiful that the psalmist has woven a theme in here that just screams out unity. He said, "It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." And you see the picture of Aaron, the priest in the Old Testament. And when Moses anointed Aaron with oil, what he did was he took the anointing oil and he poured it over Aaron's head. And he took this vial, this flask, and he poured all the oil out. And the oil came down and dripped down Aaron's face, and it dripped down his beard, and the oil began to drip down his garments all the way down to the skirts of his robe. And this oil just covered Aaron from head to toe. And what is that a sign of? This is a sign that God desires us to be one, and that we are all one. That when you looked at Aaron and you saw the oil that flowed from his head to his toe, the thing that was to capture your imagination or your mind was the fact that this oil was what you focused on. And you saw oil on his face and his beard and on his garments, and you saw oil all the way down. That you didn't see his head, you didn't see his beard, you didn't see his chest, that you didn't see his legs, but you just focused on the oneness of the oil that Aaron had when the oil was poured down over him. And as I think about what God is trying to say to us and saying that it's a beautiful thing for his people to dwell together in oneness. You know, there was a big debate out, and there still is. I was on Word FM a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, they were asking, you know, I was on there during Black History Month, and, you know, I was talking about blacks in the Bible. You know, that was a very interesting subject. And the lady on there asked me what color was Jesus. or what color do I think Jesus was? And she said, you know, some people make Jesus look like Barry Gibbs from the Bee Gees, you know, and that's the picture that some people paint, that Jesus is the like Barry Gibbs from the Bee Gees. I said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, you got white people that paint Jesus as Barry Gibbs, and I said, you got black people that paint him as Barry White. So, you know, some folks want to make him look like Barry White. And so, you know, I began to, you know, just address, you know, the question, you know, what difference does it make what color Jesus is? You know, that's something that, you know, that can be used to divide us and cause us to, you know, have cliques and divisions and all that kind of stuff. You know, I heard about this black guy and this white guy, and they were arguing about what color Jesus was. And the white guy said that you'll see when we go to heaven what color he was. And then the black guy said, well, yeah, you'll see when we get there. And they both died, and they went to heaven. And somebody said, here comes Jesus. And they said, well, we're going to see now. We're going to find out what color Jesus really was. And as Jesus walked up to them, and they said, okay, Jesus. And they were getting ready to ask him a question. And Jesus said, buenos dias, amigos. Some people say that Jesus was black because they said he had no permanent address, nobody would hire him, and he couldn't get a fair trial. Somebody said Jesus was Native American. He had long hair, he liked to go to feasts, and his land was occupied by people that persecuted him. Somebody said that Jesus was a woman. He had to feed a crowd at a moment's notice when there was no food. He kept trying to get the message across to a bunch of men who just didn't get it. And even when he was dead, he had to get up because there was still more work for him to do. What difference does it make? You know, what color he was, what nationality he was. You know, we're all one in Jesus Christ. You know, I praise God that Bethany is a multicultural church. You know, amen. You know, we got people of all nationalities. We got Caucasians. We got African Americans. We got Mexican Americans. We got Native Americans. You know, we got all type of individuals in our congregation, and praise God for that. You know, and that's our uniqueness. And you know what? When we get to heaven, there's not going to be a white section and a black section and a red section. There's only going to be one section. As a matter of fact, once you get into the book of Revelation, it don't even recognize colors anymore. It just says that there was people there from all languages and tribes and tongues and nations. So God is, and when we get to heaven, God is going to minimize this whole racial thing. And so we need to realize that in Jesus Christ, we are one, and that God don't see white men, and God don't see black men, and God don't see red men. God just sees the souls of people. That's all God is concerned about. He's looking at the soul of the individual. And so, you know, we need to ask ourselves the question, you know, are we promoting oneness in the body? Is this our desire? Is our desire to see oneness in the body of Christ? But do we come, and I find that sometimes people come with their own agenda. Just like Aaron, that oil came over his beard, it flowed down his skirts and to the bottom of his skirt. And God says, look, this is my purpose. This is what I want. I want oneness. And I find that so often in the church that people come with their own agenda. They have their own agenda, and they're going to keep working until they get their agenda, and they regardless of what God's agenda is. Y'all heard the interesting story about a church in Tennessee, and they were on this church for years and years, and one day it was discovered that oil was on their lot, and all of a sudden the gusher came up, and oil came up out of the ground, and they, you know, were able to, you know, go to the oil company, and they were able to put the controls on it. And now this church, man, they were filthy rich because there was oil on their property. And so they were about 40 members in the church. And, you know, they decided that, you know, they would bless all the members of the church and divide the money up between the members. And so they had a business meeting. And somebody made a motion in the business meeting that we divide all the money among the members. And there was a first, and there was a second, and it was approved. And somebody else made a motion. I make a motion that we don't take any new members. No new members. We don't want any more members. We got enough members. We can do ministry with these 40 right here. Us four, shut the door and no more. See, what does that say? Some people got their own agenda. All right. I mean, as funny as that story is, the fact of the matter is that there are people in the house of God that have their own agenda. And we pray that as we come, that we would not have our own agenda, but we would have God's agenda. The third thing that I want to say is to break rank is to reduce productivity. To break rank is to reduce productivity. Look what he says here in verse 3. He says, unity is like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. You see, there's this place in Israel called Mount Hermon. And at Mount Hermon, every morning, the dew settles on a part of that mountain. And as the day goes on, and as the sun comes up and burns off the dew, there is a distinct difference between where the dew settled and where it didn't settle during the evening. The place where the dew settled is a place of green foliage. The place where the dew settled is a place of ripe vegetation. The place where the dew settled is a sign of life and energy. The place where the dew settled is green and plush. And what is he trying to say? That where there is unity, there is vitality. Where there is unity, there is growth. Where there is unity, there is health. Where there is unity, there is life. Where there is unity. And in our homes, if there's unity, we'll have a healthy home. In our organizations, if there is unity, we'll have a healthy organization. In our church, if there is unity, we will have a healthy organization. I like the story that I heard, and I've said it here before, but oh man, it's so apropos. Max Lucado, in one of his books, gives the illustration about when him and his family used to go on vacation every year, and how that as they went on vacation every year, it was a family thing, and they were able to all go together. But one year, his sister got sick, and she wasn't able to go. And so they had to go without his sister and his mother, and it was just him and his dad. And his dad said, well, since it's just me and you, maybe we can take one of your friends along. And so he asked his best friend to come along. And they went on this trip, and they were going to do some fishing. And the first day that they got there, it rained, and they had to stay in the trailer. The second day they got up, it rained, and they couldn't go out. They had to stay in again. The third day, they got up, and it was still raining. But by this time, you know, being in that confined space all these days began to wear on them. And they began to fuss, and they began to fight. And Max Lucado says in the book, he says that this is the first time that I ever realized that my friend had stinky feet. He said, I didn't know that my friend's feet stunk. And so, you know, the dad, he was getting upset and was just trying to keep them quiet and trying to tell them, you know, that they needed to get along. And they got up the fourth day, and it was raining, and the dad said, look, we're leaving. We're going home. And Max Lucado said, I learned a valuable lesson, you know, as a result of that trip. He said, I learned that when fishermen don't fish, they fight. When fishermen don't fish, they fight. And when we do not focus on the purpose that God has given to us and we are not working together, instead of there being life, instead of there being fellowship, instead of there being harmony, instead of there being unity, instead of there being purpose, instead of there being strength, instead of there being life, instead of there being productivity, all it is a bunch of bickering and we are not going anywhere. There's a world that's dying and going to hell, but we can't do anything about it because we are too inward focused. We are too busy bickering among ourselves. And so it's important for the life of the church that we be on one accord. It's important for the life of ministry that God's people are together, working together so that there's life like the dew on Mount Hermon. What a beautiful sight, the dew on Mount Hermon, that when it clears off, the greenery, the vegetation, the life. Like the dew on Mount Hermon, that when the sun comes up, oh, somebody hear me now, I'm getting ready to preach. That when the sun comes up on Bethany Baptist Church, because the dew of Mount Hermon has sat on this church, and the sun begins to burn off the dew, that people don't see a bunch of brown spots, that people don't see a bunch of dark spots, that people don't see a bunch of bare spots. But when the sun begins to burn off the dew on Mount Bethany, that there is foliage and there is greenery and there is life and there is energy and there is excitement and there is productivity and there is vitalization as God looks at the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, I beg you this morning, don't break rank. Don't break rank. And finally, we see to break rank in the home, to break rank in the family, to break rank in community organizations, to break rank in the church is to forfeit the blessings of God. Is to forfeit the blessings of God. I can tell you one thing. You know, I don't know much geology, and I don't know much biology. I don't know much about the science books or much about the French I took. I might not know a whole lot. But there's one thing I do know. And that is, God's blessing is not on a home where there's a bunch of fighting and fussing. I know that. Oh, come on, Pat. I know that. God's blessing is not on a home where there's a bunch of fussing and fighting. Why? Because he says right here, he says, where does God command his blessings? Where does God tell his blessings to go? It says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That God commands his blessings in the place where there's unity. And in my sanctified imagination, if you would have in mind a military line with a bunch of soldiers standing in line, you know, one after the other, just standing in line at attention. Standing in line, just a line of soldiers, just standing in line, just waiting for the officer to give the command to go. Well, in your mind, substitute those soldiers with God's blessings, grace, and mercy, and financial resources, and things that are above and beyond what we could ask or think, and healthy relationships, and strong leaders, and faithful members, and good workers, and loving servants, and they all lined up in a row. And the Bible says that when God sees people dwelling together in unity, there he commands the blessings of the Lord. Grace, going down to Bethany. $100,000, go on down to Bethany Baptist Church. Mercy, go on down to Bethany Baptist Church. Anointed leadership, go on down to Bethany Baptist Church. Loving saints, go on down to Bethany Baptist Church. It is there that the Lord commands his blessing. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in the way of blessing. I want to be, when God begins to pour out his blessing, I want to be in the way of blessing. And one way that we can be sure that we will be in the way of blessing is that if we are all together in unity. If you will put that second slide back up there again, reasons for conflicts in the church. And I want to leave us with this. I want this to stick in our spirit because, saints, we're getting ready to move. We're getting ready to move. You know, we got, you know, man, we're going to be bringing some powerful stuff to you in a couple of weeks. You know, I don't want, you see, they see, Russell, he's sitting down, he's gritting his teeth because he said, hold up, Pastor, now, come on, hold it up. But, you know, man, I'm so excited about what we've been doing over the last 3 months. The last 3 months, man, there's been all kind of stuff going on, trying to put stuff in place to make a presentation to the body of Christ about where we're going. And I'm excited about that. And I know that more than anything else, that once we begin to move ahead, that, and saints, I just pray that as you sit there today and as you hear this message, that you would just say in your spirit that I'm not going to be the one to let the devil use me. I'm not going to be the one to allow Satan to get in me and cause division in the rest of the body. Now, we want you to be involved, and we want you to be a part of it. And we want every member, you know, when we came across the street, you know, there were folk that said, well, I'm not coming to church anymore when we go across. And I'm going to find another church to go to. And you know what? I don't know what we moved across. And as far as I don't know, you can tell me afterwards. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think that we lost anybody. If we did, we lost one or two. You know, and so when we move, y'all give them new address where the church is at so that they'll know where to come when they come on back because they wanted a sanctuary, all right? So, there was a possibility. But you know what? The saints rose to the occasion. The body of Bethany Baptist Church rose to the occasion, and we put this together, and we're sitting in this building right now because we moved across here in unity. And as soon as we moved across here in unity, you know, our membership, our Sunday morning attendance jumped up about 30 to 40 people. And it's pretty much stayed, it's kind of, you know, gone back and forth, but pretty much stayed up there since then. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that Satan is going to get busy. He's going to get busy, and he's going to be more busier than he's ever been to try to come in here and cause division between leaders, to cause division between members. But you know what? Let's be like those ox. Let's turn toward the middle, and let's begin to kick and kick and kick and kick and kick and keep the devil out. And he'll slide around. He'll try to get in through the pastor, but the pastor is kicking. And then he'll try to get in through the deacon board, but the deacon board is kicking. And he'll try to get in through the deaconess, but the deaconess are kicking. And he'll try to get in through the trustees, but the trustees are kicking. And then pretty soon Satan will say, well, I can't get in there. I can't get in there. And we can see, you know, the work of God done. And you know, the thing that God has just burned in my spirit, that this thing is doable. I mean, this is doable, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I had a couple saints say, you know, Pastor, I want to see it get done now before I go on home to glory. And I'm trying. I'm trying to get it before, you know, hopefully nobody's going to be leaving here anytime soon. That's our hope. But we're trying to get it up. So that's the vision, and you know, there's a lot of vision, but you know, that's the thing that we're going to do, because once we do that, then it's just going to free up so much here for us to be able to get back to doing things that we were already doing right here that we had to put on hold for right now. So saints, we need your prayers, we need your support, and we need your unity as we move ahead. So we thank God for that. And like I said, I know I've been doing a series on prayer, and I already had basically had the message together, you know, for prayer. And I had, I had the message, the prayers for what we were going to be talking about. It was all, and then the Lord just spoke to my spirit, you know. The Lord spoke to my spirit and said, look, you need to jump on this right now. And you need to put this as the foundation. So, you know, if there's people here that weren't here today, I pray that they would somehow get a hold of this message and hear this message on unity. And the people struggling in their homes, that you would hear this message on unity and integrate some of the things that we've talked about.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were blessed by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Pray for Those Who Are Ill. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Don't Break Rank, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Don't Break Rank or program number 100411. That's 877-831-5060 and request Don't Break Rank or program number 100411. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.